I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 109, I Like to Screw with People. We've got three segments on the show for you this week. First up is This Week in Nintendo with the Twin Twins, Scott and Neil. After that, Neil, Zach, and Tyler dig in on the Arkham Origins games. And finally, Scott interviews Don on his time spent with Super Mario 3D World. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, and welcome to This Week in Nintendo. I'm your host, Neil Rodahan, and with me, as most always, Scott Thompson.
Hello!
Hi. let's start off with the big one. Wii Fit U. I have it downloaded. I tried to turn it on, but I don't have my balance board right now. So it just was like, do you have a balance board? And I said no, and they're like, come back when you have a balance board.
See you later.
Turned off. So Wii Fit U is available as of today, or yesterday, as of recording. By the time you hear this, you can go and get your free trial on your Wii U if you have a balance board. And if you buy a Fit Meter for $19.99, you can make that month-long free trial permanent. So Essentially, you can get Wii Fit U for $20. But Scott, you've gotten to play it. What do you think so far?
I like it so far. I still have to, like, really get into all the workouts, but I did a lot of the, like, balance games last night with my wife, and the new ones they had are actually a lot of fun, and actually, like, I don't want to say a pretty good workout, but, like, you'll definitely work up a sweat doing them. There's a lot where, like, it involves kind of, like, walking on the balance board to move yourself.
That's really weird, because I played Puzzle Squash at a demo a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's like the tennis one, right?
You shovel your feet on the balance board.
But I kind of like it for some, like, there's the dining room one. Did you do that one where you're a waiter?
Yeah, that was, I might have played that, because that was E3 2 years ago.
Yeah, I had that for a while, but that one's a lot of fun. You hold the balance board out in front of you, and then you have to...
Or the gamepad.
I'm sorry. The balance board. Yeah,
there's
the gamepad.
There's so many goddamn peripherals.
I know.
That's absurd.
You hold it in front of you.
You need two nunchucks. You need a Wii remote. You need a gamepad. You need a balance board.
Well, yeah, for the dance mode now, you have to hold two Wii remotes for the dance mode. You have to have two Wii remote pluses, nonetheless. So go pick up Wii Party U and get an extra Wii remote plus.
It's well worth it. Wii Party U is fantastic.
Agreed. But yeah, so that one's fun. You got to keep the gamepad balanced in front of you while you're, like, stomping your feet in place on the balance board to move around. And you, like, kind of, you shift the balance board, like, left and right to turn. And it actually works really well and was fun. And what else? There's the trampoline one where, you know, you're just trying to bounce higher and higher. So you're basically doing squats, but you just don't realize it. You're, like, getting down low as you're landing on a trampoline, and then you extend your legs as fast as you can to, like, get as much height as you can. And it's actually, you know, it's fun. And I mean, I'm kind of feeling it a little bit in my abs today. So I'm excited, like, to do more of the workout stuff. But, you know, ostensibly $20, if you already have the balance board, it's seeming right now like, you know, like a decent purchase if you're interested in working out at all. Obviously, if you have no interest in, like, getting up off your couch, then even for the free trial, you probably aren't going to have much fun. But
yeah. I'm excited to dive into this. It's been a while since I've kind of, like, I didn't play Wii Fit Plus at all. I did get into Wii Fit a little bit when it first came out. But I think that the kind of integration on Wii U, how, you know, it is a download, it's not a disc, how it'll probably be easier to check in.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might actually keep doing it for a while, which would be fun.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, like, horrendously out of shape, but I could use it. So moving on to the other Wii U retail games, we also have Ben 10 Omniverse 2, which will be available next Tuesday, November 5th. That is based off the Ben 10 series, and it's developed by High Voltage Software. I don't think it's related to the Conduit at all, but maybe.
Maybe they tie in at the end.
I know. I played or reviewed one of these a couple years ago, one of the Ben 10 games, and they're pretty fun. They remind me a lot of, like, Cameo, Elements of Power, the Xbox 360 launch game, where you're kind of switching between different characters to, you know, they each have different abilities. Like, one guy might have, like, a triple jump or something, while the other one's, you know, he'll break down walls. Like, you know, nothing too complicated, but if you have a child or for some reason you're really into Ben 10, then Omniverse 2 is probably worth getting.
Yeah.
We also have Lego Marvel Super Heroes, which actually came out a couple weeks ago. Now it's coming to the eShop, which is, I guess, a little weird, but whatever.
Well, because lately they've been so good about getting stuff
day and day. I know Curtis Bonds, he's reviewing it. I'm actually going to check my email because it's not up on the site yet, but he sent in a draft, and I'm going to see what he gave it in his draft.
Bum, bum, bum.
We're going to come back to it because I need to sign into my other email.
I've been hearing good things about this, and I generally like the Lego games, so my wife and I have been kind of eyeing this as a good multiplayer option. I mean, I adored Lego Batman, so
yeah.
If it's like that with Marvel characters, who I'm more familiar with anyway, then I'm in.
I know, yeah, he was rough on it right now, and this might not be final, but he gave it a 5.5 out of 10. He lauds the presentation, graphics, sound, says the writing's pretty good, and there's a lot of collectibles. But the gameplay's dull, the writing's a bit juvenile, but he just said there was decent writing.
Yeah,
this is why we edit. And bare-bones Wii U functionality. But, I mean, as long as it is off-TV play, I don't think that's really
that big. It doesn't even need that. I don't even care. I never use off-TV play. So none of the bads necessarily sounded bad to me. I mean, I'm fine with the kind of standard Lego gameplay. So
I mean, that's the thing with Lego games is that they're kind of homogenized at this point. Where, you know, they have varying degrees of polish. Like, I would definitely say that Lego City Undercover was probably the most polished Lego game in recent memory because of Nintendo.
Yeah.
But if you like the license that's at hand, you'll probably enjoy that game because there will always be a lot of, you know, nods and stuff to that property. And it's just, you know, very basic gameplay that, yeah, it might be a little old and boring, but if you just want to, you know, play some shit with a Lego Tony Stark who's cracking wise, then this is probably better than any Iron Man game that came out.
Yeah, I would think so. But yeah, I'm going to give it a go regardless, and we'll see how it is.
Yeah, and I think also if you play this, I think Lego Marvel Super Heroes might be what Disney Infinity with Marvel characters would turn into.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look forward to that, I guess. And that's it for Wii U retail games. 3DS, we have Lego Marvel Super Heroes Universe in Peril, which is the 3DS version of Lego Marvel Super Heroes. Zach Miller's reviewing that one. I think he's near the end of it. And judging from Twitter, his responses are probably more in line with what Kurt thought of the Wii U version.
Yeah.
But I know that, I mean, he's been going between that and Batman Arkham Origins, and I don't think he's too upset about doing that. So, can't be that bad. But I've played a bunch of the 3DS Lego games, and they're usually a little bit worse than like, their Wii U and Wii brethren, but they're still pretty solid.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's just you remove the multiplayer in those. Next up, we got Beyblade Evolution. That's another retail game coming to the eShop. I believe that's available now. I feel like Beyblade isn't out yet, but we have it listed as being out. I'm not that familiar with Beyblade. I know it's like you have these spinning tops, and you try to like knock out other spinning tops or something.
Didn't we just do a segment recently with someone, and they were telling us that Beyblade's actually kind of very popular somewhere? What segment?
Yeah, it is.
Who are we talking to?
I don't know who. I know. I think Carmine played it somewhat recently.
But yeah. I mean, I thought we were on a segment, or maybe I was editing in a segment, and it was like after people were done talking, they mentioned, it came up somewhere recently, like somewhere in Europe it's very popular or something, or Japan, I don't know.
It is popular somewhere in the world. But Beyblade Evolution, it's a 3DS exclusive game, and it uses, like, you can use Street Pass, I think, to battle ghosts of other players and stuff like that. You can even use AR cards, which they say that in the included AR card, you can battle in a virtual arena, but if you're buying it off of the eShop, I don't think you could do that.
Right.
but yeah, I mean, it seems like it takes advantage of the 3DS, and it might be fun if you're into Beyblade.
Yeah.
If you are into Beyblade and you know where it's popular,
tell us.
In to connectivity at NintendoWorldReport.com. We'd love to know.
Yeah.
Then we got Ben 10 Omniverse 2, also on 3DS. This is a different version than the Wii U one. This one's developed by First Playable Productions. They do a bunch of licensed games. I know I've seen their name all over the place over the years. We've got Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures on 3DS. which is different from the Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures game that came out on Wii U a couple weeks ago, I think maybe last week. This is a platformer, a 2D platformer that, as far as I know, is apparently shit. I mean, it seems, you know, 2D platformer, that sounds fun, but apparently it's not a very good 2D platformer, from what I've heard from people who have played it. And then last, on the 3DS retail side, we got Saban's Power Rangers Megaforce, which is a 3DS game about the Power Rangers.
So.
And their latest incarnation, which is Megaforce.
So there you go.
Yeah, the more you know.
Yeah.
On the 3DS and Wii U eShop, we've got two sales. Shin Megami Tensei 4 is $40, which...
Wasn't this on sale just recently? I feel like we just recently talked... Sale. Yeah.
You know what it's called? It's called this shit on for $50 on the eShop is crazy.
Yeah.
That's
what the price should be permanently on the eShop. I mean, I'm fine $50 for the retail version because you get that awesome set, you get the soundtrack, the player's guide, all that good stuff. But yeah, $50 for the same thing without any of that extra content is dumb.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then on the Wii U, we got Bitrip Presents Runner 2 Future Legend of Rhythmalion is $9.99 instead of its regular $14.99. And that one is right away until November 7th, whereas the Mega 10 sale won't start until probably after you hear this, depending on when you listen to it. It's Monday to the following Sunday.
Yeah, so you got a week.
Or Monday to Monday.
Yeah.
3DS eShop, we got Angry Bunnies.
Just so great. I mean, you're not even trying anymore at that point.
Yeah. It's a Slovakian game studio called Sopronia. That's who developed this game.
Mm-hmm.
They also made the Cake Ninja series.
Oh, sure.
Guess, Scott, what is the Cake Ninja series like?
Oh, man.
What are the gameplay? Are you cutting fruit? I mean, cakes?
Yeah, I would think you're cutting cakes with some swipes of the touchscreen. Sounds about right. Yeah.
And Angry Bunnies features 150 levels of physics-based puzzles that involve players slingshotting bunnies and to hit foxes, not pigs.
No, never.
And, you know, there's some cute animation. I hear they might be doing, like, Angry Bunnies Battlestar Galactica or something.
That'd be great. Star Trek.
Just get, like, all the reject stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, so it couldn't even be Battlestar, because that was successful.
Angry
It'd have to
Bunnies,
be...
Angry Bunnies, Farscape.
Yeah, exactly. Angry Bunnies, Stargate something or other. I don't know.
Stargate Atlantis, Angry Bunnies.
Yeah.
Or, like, Angry Bunnies, Freebirds. Wait, no, not that one. Angry Bunnies, Hop.
Angry Bunnies, Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
And you got everything covered.
The other 3DS eShop game is Arcade Classics 3D. It's an arcade collection of games. There's six of them. There's like a shooter. There's a puzzle game. Yeah.
Moving on.
Yup. The Wii U Virtual Console, we got some cool shit. We got Super Castlevania 4.
Yeah, that's
just
awesome.
In time for Halloween. And I got this on Wii. I kind of forgot I got this on Wii until I looked on the eShop and I was like, you have a discount. I'm like, oh, really? Great.
That's awesome.
So I downloaded this. I haven't played it yet, but I really like this game. It's probably, honestly, one of my favorite Castlevania games.
This is the first Super Nintendo one, right? Well, there's only one Super Nintendo one.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's a second Super Nintendo one, but it might not have come out in America.
I just remember this one that like went full out with all the Mode 7 stuff. Like, isn't there like a rumor like it's just completely rotating around you the whole time or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that as a kid and being like, this shit's never going to get better looking.
Well, I mean, it really didn't, because then they're just like, oh, what are we going to do after this? I don't know, Metroid games.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't top four, guys. Move on. Although I guess they did do, because I think Castlevania Bloodlines was Genesis, and then Rondo of Blood was TurboGrafx. So I think this might have been the only Super Nintendo Castlevania game.
Yeah.
And then on the 3DS Virtual Console, we have Mylon's Secret Castle, which go through the RFN backlogs if you want to hear Johnny Metz talk, extol the virtues of Mylon's Secret Castle. I've been reading a lot about this game because I've always been curious about it, mostly because of Johnny, and I don't think I'm going to get it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, there was a younger person a younger version of Neil would have gotten this game and probably enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't think I'd enjoy it, but just I don't feel like dealing with obtuse progression. And I even talked to Johnny about it on Twitter, and he mentioned that, like, oh, you probably like it because you like, you know, confusing games like Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yeah.
But I think the difference with that is that, like, yeah, the controls in Kid Icarus Uprising, while I love them, I understand why other people don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that you progress through the game makes sense. It's logical. Whereas Myelin Secret Castle, it seems like the big obstacle there is that it's really obtuse to get through the game. And I don't feel like dealing with that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not interested at this point. Just don't have time for that kind of game.
Yeah. And then we have two demos, Lego Marvel Superheroes Universe in Peril on the 3DS. So if you want to try that game out before you buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Or not buy it. And iRace Speed, which is a 3DS game that came out in September. I've heard decent things about it. It's a racing game that's fast.
And the best ones usually are.
Yeah. So do we have any interesting news this week? I don't know if we really have. It's still, we're just playing games and stuff.
Yeah. Well, the Swapnote was shut down. That's something.
Yeah. Does anybody care? I mean, apparently a lot of people do. There's like a petition online.
Yeah. What was this outcry? I was really surprised.
I haven't checked Swapnote in a little less than 2 years. New Year's Day, 2012.
I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, Swapnote is kind of cool in theory, and especially if you've got a very small group of friends who are going to be using it. But, like, with us who have added, you know, NWR readers and listeners and stuff, it's just way too much. And it's such a slow, you know, you get the envelope, you got to unwrap it, and then you see what it is. You don't know even what you're spending time, and you're very well going to read something that doesn't even matter to you, and it's just stupid. I like it. It's a neat idea, but it didn't work for me, and I'm surprised that so many people were that in love with it.
Yeah,
actually, but
I mean, I hopefully they'll have 3DS Miiverse come soon, because I think that will, you know, actually work and be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my whole thing with Swapnote, is that, like, I like the idea of it. It was fun, but it was just so arduous to just, like, even check. Like, it's like an involved process. It's worse than street passing as far as, like, catching up with street passes.
Yeah.
We also, last week, Nintendo Video is getting some sort of refresh. I mean, I think it's still been active, but they made a bigger deal because there's a Zelda show called The Legend of Zelda, The Misadventures of Link, which I saw the first episode, and fuck that.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's like goofy little stuff done in engine with Wind Waker HD. So the first one's like he's crawling through tunnels and like collecting rupees, but oh no, a rat tricks him. Like, no.
No, thank you.
We also have some of the Cartoon Hangover stuff that's on YouTube, including a show from Bravest Warriors is going to be on a Nintendo Video. That's from the Adventure Time guy, Pendleton Ward.
Mm.
There's also a Pikmin Nature documentaries that I don't know if the first one of that went up, but that's it's a mock nature show that has a goofy narrator.
Right. I don't know, like, how, I mean, obviously this Zelda one doesn't sound very great, and I don't know what this Pikmin one would be like, but I think it's a good idea for them to try to use their own franchises.
Basically doing machinima shit.
Yeah, but to use their own, like, franchises to kind of pimp Nintendo Video a little bit. I think that's a good idea. So, in other news, I just tried to order a Wii Fit U meter for store pickup from a different Toys R Us, and I got an email that my order had been canceled, I'm assuming because they don't actually have any. So,
oh my god.
That's a fun thing. So.
Yeah, the whole Wii Fit U, the Wii Fit meter, like, debacle. I guess full disclosure, and I'm not going to go super into this because of the business, but I am a copywriter at Toys R Us. That's my day job. And I usually keep an eye out to see, like, if there's any Nintendo things coming up. I usually, separating the day job from the passion, you won't see any of that show up in Nintendo World Report. But in this case, because the fucking thing's out, technically, I can say that we don't have any messaging on the way for the Wii Fit U Fit Meter. So when I was reading online that, like, ah, oh, it's exclusive to Toys R Us, I was like, no, it's not. I was like looking around, I'm like, oh, I guess it is. And like I even like asked around other people in the copy department, being like, do we have anything like a, I don't know, something online or anything for Wii Fit U? And no one had any idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, well, when I went to my local Toys R Us yesterday and I asked about it, and they were like completely like had no idea what it was, and had to like like look it up, and they're like, oh no, like we don't have any of that.
Yeah, like it's just, it's so weird because it, I mean, to me it gives the vibe that We Fit You in this method that they're doing it was a real last minute decision.
Yeah.
I don't know why necessarily. I mean, I guess they wanted to be able to give out the free trial, but when, I mean, I guess they kind of, I feel like they underestimated how many people would want to get it because they made it, you know, you can only get it physically in some Toys R Us's if you're lucky, and you can order it online at GameStop and Amazon. That's pretty much it.
Right. Like,
it's kind of ridiculous. Although I think, well, no, in Canada, actually, it does seem to have a wider swath. Because I know some people got it at Future Shop, and other people got it, like, I think Tyler pre-ordered it at EB Games, and they got, like, five or something.
Okay.
But probably, I'm more out of curiosity, I'm probably going to go out to my Toys R Us and see if they have a fit meter in stock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a kind of a clusterfuck so far,
But I've got to go get my balance board for my brother.
There you go.
Shake him down. Be like, I don't care if it makes my niece happy. I need to work out.
There you go. Get fit.
Yep. And on that related news, the male Wii Fit trainer will be he's going to make an appearance in Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS. I assume he'll just be like a character skin for the Wii Fit trainer.
You would think so.
But that's not confirmed either way. They just had an image of the two of them. Like, I think. Who knows?
Right, yeah. I mean, I would think a skin. I mean, the other thought was, like, maybe, like, a trophy or something, or I don't know. But skin makes the most sense.
And then some other quick hits. The Sega 3D Classics will be coming to 3DS starting at the end of November. And that's stuff like 3D Space Harrier, 3D Super Hang-On, Sonic the Hedgehog, Altered Beast, Echo the Dolphin, Galaxy Force 2, Shinobi 3, and Streets of Rage. And they're basically, there will be two a week until they're all out. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably pick up some of them. And Nintendo's also insane, because they think that after the Wii U sold under 500,000 units for the first 6 months of the fiscal year, that it will sell 8.5 million units over the next 6 months.
Yep.
I don't think you're making that projection, guys. And I'll, if you want to hear more about that insanity, I wrote a lot about it. So go check NintendoWorldReport.com to see me compare different launch window games throughout Nintendo's systems history, at least pretending that the launch window ended with Wii Fit U on November 1st, because that was planned as a launch window game back last year.
Yeah.
And also how Wii U sales compare to other system sales. Spoiler, Wii U is not doing good.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
Like, even at this point, the GameCube is looking down at the Wii U being like, come on, guy.
Get it together.
The GameCube flopped, man. All right, well, that seems to be this week in Nintendo.
Alrighty.
All right, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Segment on Batman. No, Batman. I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me to talk all about the Bat is Zach Miller.
I am the Knight.
And Tyler Olu.
Swear to me. I felt I had to do it because Zach said something.
Rattle the cages.
Do a better one, but I have a little bit of a sore throat. So Batman Arkham Origins came out, and it's the first time in a while that we're getting, the hot new Batman game at the time that it actually comes out.
Arkham City was an all-new game, all-new experience.
On Wii U, yeah. try telling me that again, Reggie, because Arkham City, as far as I know, same fucking game. Mm-hmm. Good game, though. I really liked Arkham City, and I really liked Arkham Asylum. So I take it we have all played Asylum and City before this?
Yeah. This is true.
Which one did you like more? I know some people kind of lean towards Asylum better than City.
I'm going to go towards Asylum. The improvements are there for City. I'm just not as big a fan as, like, an open world. I thought something was lost, like, as much as there were indoor areas in City, just being able to focus on the one prison and, like, just meticulously design it. And there was just a lot of stuff that was like you'd see the same courtyard like five times throughout the game, and each time something, you know, had changed, like the statue had more graffiti on it. Yeah. Or it was just really good at doing that kind of thing. So
I completely agree, actually. I think at the end of the day, I like Asylum and City both a hell of a lot.
Yes.
I think the story in City is a lot stronger.
But still weak as hell.
Neither one of them are very good.
Yeah, well, I guess I think what kills me is the ending of Asylum is very Bioshocky, if that's a term that people are familiar with, where it's basically like you have a pretty decent story, and then near the end it's just kind of like, oh, you're fighting a monster. Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Because you have to. And you don't even really fight him. You fight his
goons.
I mean,
that's why I think that Arkham City, for the most part, stuck the landing, even if the story was a little kind of all over the place. But I really like both of those games. I think Arkham Asylum's
it's a tighter game.
It's more of like that Metroid experience, whereas Arkham City and Arkham Origins, which we'll talk about in a little bit, are more of that open world game, and they kind of lose the Metroidvania aspects of Asylum. But Asylum's probably one of my favorite games of the last generation.
The thing I don't like about City, looking back, is that, you know, you have this whole map to explore, but really all you're doing is picking up Riddler trophies.
Yeah,
I didn't even do that. I didn't think that prisoners. Was very fun.
Oh,
I do not enjoy the Riddler trophies that much. It's too much, like, nonsense.
Oh, I didn't like it either. I did it all, but I didn't like doing it.
No, yeah.
I liked it in Asylum more, because that was more like...
There were actual riddles.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it was like, they're a little bit in City, but it would just pop up on screen, and it was just within such a large area. Like, it'd be like, oh, something I always remember... Never solving it, because I just couldn't be bothered, because it was something about, like, Harvey Dent, like, two votes for one. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Forget it. I'm not looking for it. I just can't be bothered. But there was more, like story-driven side missions, but... and I did some of those, but...
In Arkham City, they did have the payout. Like, there was the Asriel side quest, there was the Hush side quest. Like, those were all really, really cool.
I didn't like how the Asriel side quest ended, given that the next game was Arkham Origins.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen Rocksteady's next game. There was actually a report that came out today that basically Rocksteady is making a game next year, likely another Batman game that probably takes place after Arkham City.
It's apparently going to be Suicide Squad.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I feel like they're going to do, hopefully not annualize like every year, but if this Rocksteady rumor is true, but the way things are going, like Blackgate ties into, I don't know, is that too much of a... Well, I guess Zach already said it. So, like, that they both games end
well,
with, like...
Okay, just so you know, if you're curious about the Batman games, how about, well, we will talk more generally about the games,
sounds
and
good.
We'll get to a certain point where all bets are off, even though we haven't finished all the games.
Okay.
But, I think we, all three of us kind of know what happens.
Yeah, it's just...
Not that. Once you get to a certain point in the story, you're like, okay, I know this how this is going to shake out.
Yeah, basically I saw who it involved and was like, oh, that doesn't sound like it ruins the ending of the proper game.
Yeah.
It just teases something
It's like
else.
A side thing that's an undercurrent. But we'll talk about that near the end. So if you do want to keep yourself completely unspoiled, then and we'll talk about the games that will probably spoil your experience with the games, just not the story, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's no arguing that Arkham Asylum and Arkham City are fantastic games. And now we have Arkham Origins on Wii U. It's developed by WB Montreal for the first time. They did work on the port of Arkham City to Wii U, so they do have experience with the series. I believe the Wii U version was ported over by Human Head Software.
And it's the best version from what I've been reading.
Yeah, and supposedly a lot of that has to do is that apparently the online stuff might have been the reason why 360 and PS3 ran like crap and kept on crashing. Which is great because that means we have a steadier on Wii U. We have a stabler game, and it's $10 cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Human Head, they got screwed over with Prey 2, and then they did the port job for Arkham Origins and showed that they're very good developers. Then,
yeah,
yeah.
So, how do we all feel about Arkham Origins so far? I think Zach, you're the earliest on in the game.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just infiltrating the GPD.
Cool.
Okay.
GPCD. And
got GCPD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
I've been
Commissioner Gordon's house.
I've been messing around with the Riddler stuff. It's taken a lot of my time.
Yeah, I think the distribution of side quests is a little better than Arkham City for the most part, but I don't know. The city's too goddamn big.
It's too big.
Yeah.
It's unwieldy. Like, there is a fast travel system, which I was hoping would open up quicker, but you have to go and take down these towers in different areas, which is cool, except for you need to wait until you get certain abilities right. to be able to use those.
Yeah.
And you can't really see what towers you can take down yeah. until you go there and you're like, oh, I don't have the thing to blow up that wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Crap.
And you're like, yeah, and you're like, wait, maybe I'm missing something. Like, I was on one where I'm like, all right, I guess I can't get into it. And then there was like just two boxes that were like disarm and then yes. also I can get in. And I was like, yep. oh, okay, I guess I can get in this one. It was just really weird.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was related.
The thing, is that, yeah, I keep on like second guessing myself, being like, all right, I can do this, or I don't know, it's just right there, but like, I don't know, nothing's shown up for it. Like, did I get it already? I don't even know.
Yeah. As far as, like, the game goes, I'll go on record and say it's awesome, and I really, really like it a lot. So, I don't know how you two are feeling. I feel like, I don't know, Zach, but I feel like, Neil, you said it's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Arkham definitely... City 2. More city.
See, I think... And I hate using this as the excuse that, like, you know, oh, the story doesn't feature, you know, Batman villains that we're all used to, so it's worse. It's like, but that's not necessarily what makes the game, like, the at least to me, the worst of the three Arkham games. Because I think that to me, like, that's clear. Like, this is weaker than City and weaker than Asylum to me. Mm.
There's so many stories going on all at once.
Yeah, and like I like the Deathstroke boss fight, even though it was a little frustrating.
It
like
was
I just thought
bullshit
that was a,
is what it was.
It was a really cool cinematic boss fight, and I really enjoyed that. But it's like the stuff like I don't know. There was something about like the Penguin in that sequence that I wasn't really a big fan. And then
yeah, why is he even
as
there?
You interact with it, I do like the interaction with the Joker a lot. That's pretty spot on. I feel Troy Baker is. Doing a great job.
Yeah, he does
doing
do a good
his
job.
Best Mark Hamill imitation he can. But I don't know. I just feel like there's something that's like just slightly off that I can't totally put my finger on. But I think a lot of it is that it's the same shit over again, and they're just adding more bloat to it, to me makes it a lesser experience.
What kind of bothers me is that, you know, how at the end of Wind Waker, you know, you stab Ganon in the head and. The whole world changes. Like the storyline of Zelda, underlying story changes. The next game is going to have to be something different. And then the next
and
game
the
is
same
a,
shit.
A dream sequence. it was all a dream. And then they go back to fucking Twilight Princess or whatever it was. So
yeah,
that's how I feel like in this game, they, at the end of Arkham City, spoilers for those who haven't finished that 3 years ago, the Joker dies. And I thought, holy crap, the next game's going to have some interesting story beats yeah. to it. And then they make a origin story. They go back in time. Oh, we can have the Joker again.
Yeah. And I think everything with the Joker in the game is fantastic.
It's just the Joker again.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the thing is like they do it so goddamn well.
Yeah.
But there's also that part of me where it's like I've seen this before and I've seen it better.
I don't know what it is. I can't even really like just be like, oh, it's like this feature and then this gameplay feature is what makes it better. But I feel like as much as I like City, I like this one just the same. And they are really similar, but maybe for as like hypocritical as it is, like I'm totally happy with more of the same. Like
yeah.
I'm still
yeah.
like I'm no, enjoying it like a lot. And like there's issues that I have like with the combat. I feel there's something different about it compared to City. I feel like all I do is counterattack. Like all the time, and I rarely can do takedowns. As soon as I try to do a takedown, someone's coming at
knocks
me.
You.
And yeah. Which is not something that I felt happened in City. Like, basically, I would be able to parse out if I was far enough from an enemy and I had the time to do it. This time, it's just, no, I don't. I just counter. And basically, I'm not taking guys down. I'm just beating them up until they're taken down.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, the mission structure is fine. I feel the story is the best of all of them. The lead up to the Joker's reveal is awesome. You know who the Joker is, but Batman doesn't, and they sell it so well.
It really, like, that's, I think, what makes this game. That's what makes this game work for me.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm like, I feel like I'm sounding super negative on it, but yeah, I agree with you, Tyler, in that, like, I'm fine if just like a Batman game like this comes out every other year forever.
I mean, I do too. I don't want to be down on the game either. Tyler, I totally agree with you what you're saying about the combat. And they start throwing you in with like 20 thugs at a time after 5 minutes. But no, I mean, the game works. It's Arkham City again, and I don't really have a problem with that. And I really like the crime scene investigation.
Oh, it's so good.
I wish they did more of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't.
It pops up as side missions, so I keep an eye out for those.
You can't do it on the Wii U pad alone, though.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know. I don't know if I've had that problem. My problem with the playing on gamepad only is that the only thing I can't do is scanning the anarchy tags, who's an enemy in the game. He just graffitis the shitty anarchy symbol all over the city.
Anarchy is also a terrible fucking
Yeah,
villain.
He is. Why is he even in the game?
Right now, I just feel I'm glad, like, I kind of stayed away from stuff, so I'm kind of like, I don't know if you face him again, and if you don't, that's fine. Like, it was weird that he popped up and was so strong, like, it just almost seemed like he was, like, a side mission, really.
Yeah.
Maybe he was, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he is. Electrocutioner, I like that moment.
That was
great.
Has anybody, I think, because he's, like, a side mission, right?
He was storyline because he was right before the Joker. I mean, the Penguin.
Yeah, well, no. But just the moment where you just punch the fucking dude in the face. Like, doesn't he escape?
He does, yeah.
He escapes. I haven't run into him since. Where I'm in the game is because I'm getting so sidetracked with everything that I'm got to go see him again. Like, I've tracked his signal. So I need to go see him again, and that's how you get the shock gloves from Armored Edition. It's very similar to the Armored Edition.
I've not gotten there yet. I imagine. I think I'm actually pretty close to that.
Yeah. If you've seen the Joker, you're super close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really good, and I don't know. I feel like it's just I'm having a really good time. I don't know if it's just maybe the Batman fan in me, and it's coming at a good time. But I just really like it, and like I will say, like, the Joker is a disappointment. Like, I'm like, ugh. Like, I remember a few months ago, like, the, you know, Ultimate Boner Edition was revealed, and there was a Joker statue, and I was like, for fuck's sake, I can't believe the Joker's in it again. Like, nothing to even do with his death at the end of City. I was just like, I thought this was going to be about Black Mask and more of the mob stuff, which is totally fine by me. Like, I don't need constant supervillains, but anyways...
His career, Batman was chasing down the mob.
Yeah. So, you're in the Gotham City Police Department, and there's a lot of stuff that like shows stuff like about the mob, like in that, like it name drops a lot of people.
Yeah.
Is it Tony Zuko?
There's a lot of
something?
Nice bat references throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like over the course of this, I came into this a little more negative, and now that I'm talking about it more, I'm like, I don't know, I just kind of like it, man. It's fun.
Oh, it is a
like, it's
game,
nothing
yeah.
that blows me away, but it's like, I don't know, I feel like as much as you can say it's like Arkham City 2.
Well, Tyler, it's just like pizza.
Yeah. Oh. That's the thing. I just think it's just like, it's so gross to compare things to food. Like, it's just like, it turns me, I'm like, oh, food. It's just
I totally
gross.
Agree with you that, like, I don't see people Bad comparing, food. Like, Assassin's Creed to me. That is like shitty pizza.
Yeah, and 2 years
like pizza that like you eat it and you're like, there's a fucking bug on this. What's wrong with this place? Every year,
hey, Assassin's Creed 2 was good. Don't diss Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, no, Assassin's Creed 2 was great. Everything since then, it's just been like Assassin's Creed 2, but now you're in the snow.
Yeah, not as good. Yeah,
I think I think as soon as like
you're on a boat,
I kind of understand like with Nintendo, like how they're so weird about you know, external studios working on their products. Like, they just want it to be a Nintendo game. And it's because as soon as people are like, oh, this isn't by Rocksteady, forget it. Like, and I don't understand that, because Rocksteady, like, Urban Chaos was like,
Yeah, exactly.
I still remember when Arkham Asylum was revealed, I was like, who is this roided up Commissioner Gordon? Like, why is the Joker written like all over the walls? Like, it looks like this is stupid, and I had no interest in it. And it was like, it wasn't, it was like Eidos, and it was like, whatever, this is going to be terrible. Like, who, like, why would they do this to Batman? It's another terrible Batman game. And it was really good. So I don't understand, like, why you would instantly think another developer working in the game would be bad. So stupid.
And I don't think, I mean, WB Montreal does have a good pedigree, because you look, the director worked on a Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I need to play
I feel like if this was a PlayStation or an Xbox podcast, it'd be like, the we'd be like talking nonstop about like how shitty the game runs. Like, I've had like no problems.
It's not good.
Like, I don't know.
Well,
I just,
it's not freezing or corrupting my save file.
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't gotten any crashes. I have had to reload areas because textures haven't loaded.
Whoa.
That's happened.
I don't know if I just had good luck, and I'm sure
four
it's
or five
end.
Times across like 6 or 7 hours. I think I have tons of frame rate. Like, whenever I move too quickly for the game,
frame rate
kind of just grinds to a halt. I mean, that's the one thing, is that it's not freezing the game, but it's to be completely honest, it takes me out of it. Like, the technical issues might not be as bad as what's on 360 and PS3, but they're not good.
No, I've had frame rate issues and like temporary freezing, which worries me. When is it going to turn into hard lock freezing?
There's been lots of weird stuff. Like, when the game came out, I got this. I was like, you know what, WB? I think it's kind of cool. Like, as much as, like, your video game prices are, you can argue that they're expensive and they're gouging you or whatever, but, and that basically the removal of multiplayer is also not a cool thing, but I think it's pretty good that they made it $10 less. Like, I don't know if necessarily multiplayer is worth $10 or something. But either way, it was cheaper, so I was like, you know what? That's a solid for me. I'll buy the Season's Pass. And the Season's Pass has, like, since been, like, taken down, and there's, like, no communication of, like, why?
That was a problem with Warner Brothers, with DLC on the here. I mean, I think if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen my repeated attempts to get clarification about Injustice DLC.
Even now,
you might not know, although I think I might have mentioned it on Twitter or another connectivity episode, is that there would be a while where we would get a PR email from the PR company working with Warner Brothers for Injustice, where they'd be like, oh, new DLC, and it would not mention the Wii U version, even after the Wii U version had DLC come out.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And I would reply being like, what about the Wii U version? And I did this for basically every piece
of
DLC.
We have no comment.
Injustice. And I either wouldn't get a response, or I'd be like, I only know what's in the PR, which, I mean, he's not telling me a lie. It's a third-party company working with Warner Brothers. They're just given information, and they report it. Or, like, you know, Wii U information will come at a later time. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't know, especially selling me a Season's Pass and then taking it down, and there being no communication about it. Like, that's fine if you took it down, if there's problems. Like, good, address the problems. Like, people shouldn't have any issues, but the content that I have access to, because it was like the, you can't buy it, but I still have access to like the maps and like the skins and stuff like that, and it like works. So
too.
I'm not sure like what the deal is, but there's no communication. And plus, if you go to they basically have like a support site, like a forum, which is insane at the rate it moves with people reporting issues. But I would I reported the gamepad issue. But they're releasing a patch, or the PC patches come out, and they make clarifications of what's PS3 and what's 360, and like Control F, nothing's coming up. So I'm like, are they saying that these issues aren't affecting the Wii U or not? Because like, if you check out Miiverse, people are like, oh, corrupted save file, I'm starting over. So
I
it's
had,
not like
I
there
Batman
is no
walking
issue.
Walking on water in my game several times.
So like, there's not like there's no issues. So it's kind of like, is this not being addressed? Is human head supposed to be in charge of it? But no one tells you anything. It's just like, I don't know. I just would really like to hear something, like even a shitty, oh, we're working on it, but
even if you don't like the answer.
So, I don't know. But I don't know. As far as the game goes, barring any technical problems, it's still a lot of fun. And the story is what really helps it move along and really makes it, like, differentiates itself from the previous entries for how solid it is.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to keeping going with it. And I'm going to buy Blackgate on Vita.
Yeah, so that's a good transition, Zach.
Bravo.
Because Black...
Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate
is a 3DS and Vita version of the game that's made by Armature Studio, who's headed up by former leads from Retro Studios who were the leads on the Metroid Prime series. And I need to say first is that this is the only 2D game I've ever played that has made me want to play Metroid Prime. Because it just, I didn't expect that. Like, it kind of blew me away how much I can tell that the people who made Metroid Prime were at the helm of this game. Because it feels like it.
Yeah.
Like, you have what is essentially the fucking scan visor at your disposal. Oh. It displays in a similar way. It has that kind of, like, the, you know, that bullshit analyzing thing. So you can't just do it at the drop of a hat.
Neil.
The way you kind of traverse through the world and go in, like, you have different areas that you go to. And you go between them, and you find other entrances to go through them, and everything. And it's awesome. It's a fucking fantastic game.
Neil. Yeah, and the map, which we'll talk about later, does that thing where it's like beep 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 beep, and like pulls you out, and then like zooms in another area.
Yep.
Beep,
oh,
beep,
nice! Beep, beep,
beep, beep. I love it. it really I want to fucking play Metroid Prime every time I play that game. Like, I'm just like I should just boot up Metroid Prime Trilogy and have some fun.
My deal with it is that I feel like, for the first time in, like, years, and I think I talked about it with Zach, and that, like, I think since Order of Ecclesia, that this is, like, someone who says they want to make, a Metroid-like game and, like, pulls it off. Like, that's a super hot thing on Kickstarter. Like, if you could, like, search Kickstarter by Metroid, it would be insane, the results you get, because people want that. Like, Nintendo's not doing it themselves, so you have to, like, people are looking to it for inspiration, but, like, it's not a simple thing to do. It's not simple to make someone want to explore your area. Like, I always think back to, like, Monster Tale, which I enjoyed, but it's just like, oh, you unlock something? 2 miles away is where you need to go, and we're going to tell you to go there, and it's the only instance where it's going to pop up. And it's just like...
And I thought Monster Tale was a fine game, but it's just like, I don't know, there's something about Blackgate where... It's like everything's obvious but not obvious at the same time. Like, you do have that sense of like, oh, I know there's something over here, but I need to go and explore over there to find out where it is. And I like that when you're like, you know, you're scanning around a room, thinking like, okay, I know that's an ability I'm getting later. I'll have to remember to come back here. But I don't know exactly how to access that yet. Because you do have a lot of stuff where, like, you can kind of see in the background. And you can be like, how do I get to that point?
Like, the analyzing
is just as addictive as it was in the Metroid Prime games. Like,
yeah,
you're just and you're constantly doing it because there's so many moments where you're like, "What? I can't make any progress. I can't make any progress." And then it's just like, "Oh wait, this little thing here does this," and now it just feels great. Where you're like, "Look at this path that's opening up, and I'm making crazy progress now, and everything's making sense."
And it's really, I mean, it's, I think I'm about 70% complete. There's basically three area bosses that you fight. I haven't fought Black Mask. I've fought the Joker and the Penguin. And I think I'm pretty close to the end of Black Mask. I have 70% completion. I don't know if that factors in, I assume that factors in your total completion and not just your completion of the story. I mean, I just like the way that they dole out upgrades in a really good way, where it's kind of like, this is getting a little frustrating moving around. And then you get I forget the name of it. It's the line launcher.
Yeah.
Where you could just basically zoom around rooms. And I feel like all these things kind of have Metroid Prime or Metroid parallels too. But
the line launcher, it becomes so awesome. And I can't remember if it's the immediate upgrade or it's a secondary upgrade of it. But then
you can
walk on it and then you go higher and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I can use
it's
that
like
here.
The screw attack almost.
It's so good. And the funny thing with the collectibles is, I feel there's, too many. I finished the game, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, especially for going back. Yeah. But, I finished the game, and it's every bat suit, I'm, one piece away from, being able to wear it.
I know, that's the worst. I have two that I'm one piece away from.
I want the new 52 one so bad, and it's, not going to happen.
I just want one. I just want to see what happens when I get another suit,
Yeah. So, it's crazy.
Because they do mark everything on the map, which is nice, except for all the clues.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So
what do the clues even give you, like, I completed one, but I forgot.
You completed one? I still have, like I just, like, yeah. I think the clues and the, and, like, the bad suits. And it's not, like, for laziness. Like, I tried really hard, like, and I still finished, and there's still a couple question marks that I have no idea how to get them. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, so, just so you know, Zach, for when you get this game. I mean, you have, like, your weapons and your upgrades for that, too. You also find stuff that'll be like, oh, it gives you more health. And, like, makes you, you have, like, you do more melee damage and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
But you also find there's five pieces of, I think there's four or five bat suits
Ooh.
That you can find. And they will give you different abilities. And, like, I think there's a Red Sed one, there's New 52.
There's the one that's, like, the 100-something Batman suit, which is awesome because when you find the pieces of that suit, it's like, you found 100 boots. You found 100 gloves. And you're like, oh, okay, that sounds – it's just, like, worded so awesome.
And then in addition to that, there's all these clues that are kind of, I guess, similar to, like, the crime scene stuff where it's you're piecing together – you know, like murders and stuff, which the one that I actually unlocked, it's like, there was some dude and like the Joker poked at his eye or something like, and they actually have like a little paragraph about like, here's what happened.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
How the clues fit into it.
Cause I'm just like, what? Cause it's like, you found a cigarette.
And everything else except for the clues, is shown on the map.
Yeah.
Like you have a question mark in an area.
So
and
let's talk about the map.
Yeah, let's talk about the map. The map is presented in 2D fashion, and the game is like 2.5D.
Yeah, and it's like an overhead view. It's not like a side view. It's overhead.
Oh,
it really needs a
3D
map
that.
Like in Metroid Prime.
Yeah, it desperately needs it. The map, because I remember thinking, you know, naturally, oh, like Castlevania, I'm seeing a side view of it, but I'm like, no, this is overhead, which works better. Like if it was from a side view, it'd be even worse. But the overhead, the problem with the overhead is that A, it doesn't show layers. And B, because of the how you navigate the areas, like you'll go into a vent, which is, you know, in the background, but then that vent turns back around and brings you, you know, further in or further back and like left and around. Like it's so weird. And it's just from looking at the map, you can't be like, oh, that's where that goes. Like it's,
oof, it's crazy. I mean, you kind of over time, I feel like you kind
get
of learn
to
how
it
works.
Yeah.
But it's not ideal.
See, that's...
Like, I feel like there's a better way they could have done that map.
Yeah, and like you said, it would be just like Prime. And I'm not... I think just naturally people... I don't understand, but people will just be like, oh, Armature, like, why wouldn't you do this? Obviously. But you know what? I'm like, for me, I'm like, this is still a licensed game. And I don't know what Warner Brothers is financing, like how much money they're putting into a portable game. So you know what? Things come down to time and money, and maybe they couldn't do it. And that would be something that would require a lot of work. But either way, it's difficult to read. But it's on the bottom screen of the 3DS. And the Vita version is like, gorgeous, like it's beautiful, but as weird and hard to use as that map is, having it on the bottom screen is helpful, especially when you just need to know the general direction, where you're like, you can see like, okay, if I go left, then it's going to bring me further away from my object, and actually if I take this vent, that's going to loop around and bring me where I need to go. Otherwise I've seen, you know, in the forums, like people talk the Vita version, that you need to bring up the map a lot. It's kind of handy, but it does look gorgeous.
I mean,
on Vita.
Yeah, the Vita version definitely looks better. And the Vita version also, for the detective vision, like, you can just turn on the detective vision, like in the big boy Arkham games. But to do the little scan visor thing, for the 3DS, you hold your thumb down in the lower right-hand corner of the touchscreen.
Not happening.
And then it brings up, like, a circle that you can move around on the screen to, like, scan over areas and then hold it there, and then you'll scan it.
Yeah.
In the Vita version, as far as I know, and I'm not, because I haven't played the version, so I'm not 100% sure, but I think you just tap the screen and then move your finger around.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem with that is that, like, shit still goes on while you do that. Like, I actually, I'll do that, like, when I'm walking through an environment, I'll just stop, you know, hold the button, hold my thumb down on the touchscreen, and then, because I'm already using the circle pad to move, just do a quick scan.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the Vita version, it's a lot more of an involved process. But it could also be that you could also maybe you're holding a button down or holding the right hand corner of the Vita screen to do that too.
It'd be nice if you could do that with the back panel. Scan around with the back panel.
Maybe you can.
Oh, that'd be cool. But I don't think I've never seen anything that shows that or heard that.
Armature does have experience with Vita because they did the Metal Gear Solid collection.
Yeah, and they're working on the Injustice.
So maybe they are doing cool stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think for me there's two more issues, and one is a game breaking bug that is being
addressed. Is this again, cuz I think I'm close to it.
Oh, I know, it's so like, and you're terrified. You're like, "Oh my god, am I close?" But basically this is important. Like, it's not even spoiling anything. It's like, in the infirmary, there's a point where you need to turn on the power. And when you, but you need a key card. You find the area, you find this like computer terminal. It's like, this is where you turn on the power, but you need a key card. So you go, and it tells you where to go. And you go, there's someone that you see, something happens to a certain, to a character, and you need to get their key card. When you get their key card, you go back the way you came. Don't go, because there's an alternate way, and you go past like this like water pump and go, and you have to call an elevator, and something happens where like you'll call the elevator, but then because the power isn't turned back on, you can't go back, so you're totally screwed. So basically,
I almost did that, but then
because it's very close, and I don't blame, yeah. You can't blame anyone because it almost even seems quicker to go that way, but the thing is to go back the way you came, to go back like. Through this other, and I still think you take an elevator, but it's not this elevator that's after a water pump, which is very clear. It's this big cylinder that moves back and forth. It's like, if you're going past that and you haven't turned the power back on, don't do it. So anyways, that's an issue, and they're working on a patch or something like that. Otherwise, the only problem I have is that the free flow combat, it's the same system that's in the console versions where it's, you know, so many different buttons, but there's, you know, the counter attack button, the attack button, and like the evade button. So, what I find is they can only attack you on the left or the right, but they'll have enemies that are a little bit further in the background, a little bit more in the foreground, and Batman will zip around and attack them. Where the problem comes is that if there's an enemy that has like an electric shock stick or knives,
you can't isolate them.
Yeah, you can't direct an attack towards them. So basically, I know when I play, if someone has shock sticks, I don't want to, or like a cattle prod or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I want to get them out of there.
Yeah, I want to get rid of them, because basically you'll be attacking someone. If they hit you, it's not like it's like you're shocked and it's even worse. So anyways, they're on your right, but there could be an enemy in front of them. So basically you have to like almost like work your way through other enemies by using the cape stun constantly to get to him. And sometimes you'll be like, oh, there he is, and you'll use it, but then he'll attack someone who's more in the background than this guy who's more in the foreground. But what I will say also, and Neil can probably agree, he might agree with me on this, is that the combat, as much as it is in there, it's not like the console games where it's constantly showing up. The game is more about exploration. So as much as that happened, it doesn't get crazy where like there's like, you know, five guys with guns and then someone has grenades and then they're throwing boxes and things at you. It doesn't get that crazy. So as much as a problem that was, it doesn't really rear its head that often.
So it's more like Asylum.
I find it's exactly like, that's probably why I'm so in love with this game. It's really, really good. I don't feel it has rough edges. I think it knows what it is, and it focuses and it hones in on that. And I have to wonder if there's something where, you know, like this is the free flow system is like a staple of the series, so they kind of have to have it. I'm not sure, but at least their strengths are the Metroid, you know, exploration, and they nail it, and it's perfect, and it's awesome.
It does feel like there are a lot of things from the Arkham series just shoehorned into Blackgate. Mm-hmm. I don't like how the Predator sequences came up, because there's not too many of them.
Yeah.
But it's just that, like, you don't really have that feeling of, like, oh, can they see me? Can they not see me? Mm-hmm. And you usually, when you're escaping, it's like you have left or right.
Yeah.
You don't have that freedom of movement.
Yeah.
You just don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. There's, like, a few encounters where, like, I've beaten a room, and then you kind of just, like, okay, on to the next room. And all of a sudden you'll hear a guy be like, there he is! And you're like, I can't see them, and I'm being attacked now. And so you're like, oh, but then you're like, was there even a way to, like, sneak in here? It's really bizarre in that way. So there's like, and I think the there's some boss fights that really focus on kind of maneuvering around and not getting spotted, and it's pretty tough. But when you put on detective vision,
the penguin,
like, they have like cones of vision, so the penguin
it's
is really
still
hard.
Like, the cones aren't that, I don't know, the cones feel kind of imprecise, because there's times where I'm like, okay, I shouldn't be able to be seen, and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah. One thing I'll tell you about the Black Mask fight, and this isn't a spoiler, like, it's one of those, you know, it's one of those fights where you fight a group of bad guys, but you can't think like, oh, I gotta fight them and then actually kind of try to hurt Black Mask in between. It's like, no, it's a finite number of bad guys. When you get through them, then the fight progresses. So it's nothing to be like, oh, well, maybe they keep coming, but it's not infinite, and you're supposed to be doing something else. It's like you just beat those guys, and then the fight moves on. So it can be something that's really confusing for some people. So, but yeah, awesome game. I really like the boss fights. I think they do really well. The last boss fight in particular is awesome. It's a lot of fun, and it uses the free flow combat because it's just like, you know, 1-on-1. It works really, really well. So I liked it. Yeah,
I might end up beating this game.
So did you want to talk about these like? Where they're showing at least maybe their games are hitting. I don't know if it's going to be a Rocksteady thing. I feel like what they hint, maybe this is almost like the Treyarch to Infinity Ward. Not in terms of...
I kind of hope so.
Yeah, like that... Hopefully not yearly, but at least that this is... They have their own direction.
I think Warner Brothers wants it yearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
That would be... Well, I think like my love for Batman is too strong, but that I would still pick it up, but I don't know.
I want to make a joke before we get into spoilers.
Okay.
So Kevin Conroy is not Batman in this game. Chris Redfield's guy is.
Yep.
And because I play a lot of Resident Evil, I have to believe that Chris Redfield is in fact Batman. And Black Mask is Wesker.
Yeah.
And Killer Croc is a version of the Tyrant, or maybe a Hunter.
So it works.
It's all blending together in my mind now.
All right, so spoiler talk for the Bat Talk. So throughout both games, Amanda Waller, who I'm most familiar with from Justice League Unlimited,
also voiced by CC Pounder in this game, Pounder.
Yep, CCH Pounder, yep. Who is the voice of Amanda Waller to me. Government crazies everywhere, but she's basically putting together the Suicide Squad, which there's a really good comic run from. Like the 80s, where it's basically these kind of like, you know, C-rate villains that are all brought together, and then they go on like secret missions and shit.
There was even one of Justice League
I don't think they called it the Suicide Squad,
but you could tell that was what it was.
Yeah,
like it's like super villains, so it's like almost like DC's way of being like, this is how the Joker gets out of jail all the time. Like, sometimes they break out, and sometimes they're offered these suicide missions, and if they complete, then their jail term is shortened, or, you know, they're let out completely. Yeah. So that's, like, the whole thing with that, the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and both Arkham Origins and Arkham Origins Blackgate play into that, and they both have, like, teasers at the end that talk about it.
Yeah, so...
But, I mean, I don't really know where they could even take this... in a sequel, unless they do kind of...
The sequel is Arkham Asylum.
Because I feel like it would be cool if they just made a fucking Suicide Squad game, and, like, you played as Deadshot. Like, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be really cool, but I don't think that would happen. It's kind of like how you look at the DC animated movies that they put out, like the ones that they put out, two or three times a year. You did see some shit like Wonder Woman. You're never going to see that shit again. Everything needs to star Batman or Superman.
Because
that's
me,
what sells. And I feel like you're not going to put all this money into a video game about the fucking Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way,
as much as I think that would be cool, it's just you don't do that.
Well, that could be a side game. That could be like on Vita and 3DS. You know, Batman Arkham.
I would buy that. Make it a Metroidvania
or something. Yeah. Yeah, make it Metroidvania where each character has a different ability.
I just want to see, whenever I see some company being like, we're going to make a Metroidvania, can you just stop developing the game and give it to Armature? They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They very clearly know what they're doing. And you know what? I've heard some people be real negative about this game, and I don't think they're entirely wrong, but, like, these guys know how to make a fucking Metroid game.
Yeah. I think if you want Arkham City... Or even, I think Arkham City earned a lot of acclaim, and Arkham Asylum, this is more similar to Arkham Asylum, but even still, it's not these big, crazy, epic stories with, like, all these crazy appearances and all these secrets and stuff like that. It's very, very much a Metroid game, so it's just as silent as Samus is, and how there's very little story, and the majority of those games, there's there's not a lot of story here either, and it's interesting. But they let you tackle the bosses in whatever order you want, and that can help you in some ways and not in others. It's interesting.
What order did you beat him in, Tyler?
It was almost accidental because I couldn't remember what bad guy was in what area, and then I was like basically went along a path. But so I went Joker, Penguin, Black Mask.
Okay, I did Penguin, Joker.
Yeah. So it's interesting, and the ending. Well, I guess you'd probably get the same ending as me because I think the third of the three that you beat last is the ending you get, which is interesting because it ties into what we're seeing in Origins, but it doesn't spoil like it doesn't really spoil anything.
Because isn't there something that happens in Origins that like?
There's a big twist, and then like right now where I am, like. Like we're talking about spoiler talk, so whatever. Like Black Mask, like fate is like kind of like in the balance, and then you see what happens. Then he's alive in this game, so you know he's not killed.
Yeah,
but he really hates the Joker, and the Black Mask ending ties into him hating the Joker like a lot. So
there were really there's three different endings for this fucking game.
That's what they said. Yeah, and then there's a new game plus. The new game plus, you lose all your gadgets, but you keep all your collectibles. So that you can, and they say that there's new items if you play on New Game Plus, and you can, and then you obviously attack the bosses in a different order to get a different ending. But I'm interested in the new items. That seems really weird. But what I like about what I think is cool, especially about Blackgate, is that this is the introduction of Catwoman into it, and Catwoman from this game to Catwoman in Arkham City is very different, like their relationship. So obviously. They're setting themselves up where things aren't naturally like it's not like Blackgate then Arkham Asylum immediately. It's they're leaving room for them to continue doing this, so it's pretty cool. And the only thing that would be weird about the Suicide Squad being like the group of enemies you may face in the next Batman game is that they'd probably get more heat about recycling what the previous game did because it's all enemies that you're facing in Origins or Blackgate. So whatever.
Yeah.
Bring all in right. Some Clock King.
I don't know if people are ready for that kind of timing. All right, well, I think that just about does us for some Batman talk.
Yeah.
If you want to hear us talk more about Batman, we can talk comics.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk animated shit.
Can we talk about how shitty the Flashpoint Paradox was? Because it was shitty.
I like the Flashpoint Paradox, but I'm not excited for anything else in the DC animated universe now because... Bruce Timm's out, and it looks like they're just mirroring the comics, and that's not interesting to me.
That's too
bad. And I can catch up with Batman in comic form.
Oh yeah,
Tyler and I can talk about it.
Super good. I think the running joke with the Arkham games is like some supervillain always dupes Batman, and he's tricked, and you know there's always some secret thing. But I mean, like if you read the comics, that's what happens all the time. Like the Court of Owls.
A Court of Owls game? How awesome would that be?
There's a Court of Owls There's a Talon statue in Arkham Origins.
What?
So it's like, that's awesome. Like, I feel like that would totally be like a next gen thing where like they could finally have the technology of being hunted in a game down properly. Like, and it wouldn't be like bullshit smoke and mirrors. You'd actually, anything could happen at any time. Like, it's not scripted. Like, and that would be the Court of Owls game. It'd be so incredible.
Yeah. But, let us know if you want to hear us talk about comics and shit, because we could definitely do that. We just need someone to push us in that direction. Thanks for joining us, Tyler. This is your first time on the show in how long?
I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll come on in. I'll talk video games. No problem.
Yeah. So what have you been up to?
I just started stickitinyourpocket.com, like a handheld gaming site. So it's pretty rad. It's pretty fun. It's just all...
Good long reads about games that I usually enjoy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm interested in, but don't have the time to play.
It's a lot of hand... Like, basically, it's 3DS and, and Sony's line, Vita, PSP, and then DS and stuff like that. No iOS stuff. Not a dig again or a slam against it. It's just I'm not interested in it, so I'm not going to write about it. But anyways, to tie into Batman, I will have... an interview with Armature's Jack Matthews going up soon. I should be hearing back from him this weekend. So he was the director on the game. He's like the technical. I think he's a technical director at the studio.
Yeah, and he worked on all the Prime games.
Exactly. So, and it's really interesting. And I said that the Joker fight was annoying in Blackgate, and then he told me what I should have done, and I was like, Oh, I could have made that so much easier on myself.
What should you have done?
Well, when he attacks with the stun stick, basically I would try to use my cape stun because that's how
I would run away.
Or try to run away, but I find he'd always catch me up anyways. But what you're supposed to do is use the electric batarang, and it short circuits his stun stick, and then you can attack him. So basically, I would let myself get hit, and then I would attack him. Like it was like
same here.
So that was my fault. So I'm like, oh, it's interesting.
I don't know if that's like if I'm like mad that it's too clever or if I just feel dumb.
What bothers me is that any other enemies in the game that have those shock sticks, they aren't affected by an electronic batarang. So I never thought of doing that. I automatically went to cape stun, which doesn't do anything. So, but it worked. I beat it, and now I know a different way. So I'm sharing that with you all.
Yeah, for when I play this game again, because I might. Now that I hear that there's different endings.
Yeah.
Well, Zach, you know my and Zach's story. So we're going to let you get going. Thanks for joining us, Tyler.
Yep.
And maybe another bat time on another bat. Same bat channel, but just definitely a different bat time.
Awesome.
Probably not the same bat time.
Great.
All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
Bye, guys.
And welcome to another, I guess this is becoming a regular segment now, where Don Koopman gets to play a lot of great games, and then he gets to tell us about them while we cry and have to wait like another month. So yes, I am with Don Koopman today. Don, how are you?
I'm good. It's at least a little bit earlier than last time we recorded.
Yeah, I did you a favor. We were recording right when I got home from work, so what time is it for you right now?
It's 9:45.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad at all. Yeah, it's about 10 to 4 o'clock for me right now. So not bad at all. Did you a little favor there.
Yeah.
So on this installment of Don Gets to Play Great Games Before Everyone,
we're going to talk about Wii Sports Club for a half hour. No.
Yeah, we're gonna revisit bowling. No, actually, Don has been playing Super Mario 3D World. Has actually, at this point, completed it.
Yeah.
But due to the embargo, can actually only talk about the first two worlds. So
yeah, they're way more stricter on this one than actually with Super Mario 3D Land, if I reckon and remember it correctly.
Well, 3D Land, it was like, all right, let's talk about it. And then it was like, you could talk about the entire game and all the bonus, like, unlockable content, like everything. I mean, you have to talk about everything.
The funny part is, and it's something behind the scenes for people who never knew this, but we actually had to delay that podcast by an additional week because they changed the embargoes last minute.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, we had it all ready to go, and then you were like, crap. So we had to pull it out, and we saved it. You're right.
Yeah.
For an extra week. So that's right. I forgot about that. Well, hopefully that won't happen on this one, because we're recording Friday, so it's got to go for tomorrow's show. So if you email me in, like, 2 hours and, like, we can't talk about anything, then
Nintendo's already gone. They're celebrating the weekend, so whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it'd be 10 at night. Oh, good. So we should be safe.
Yeah, we should totally be safe.
So, yeah, Don has played all of it, but can talk about the first two worlds and various things.
Yeah.
So I guess just in general, Don, I mean, what has your impression been of the game? I mean, looking at trailers, it really does just look like a really pretty version of 3D Land. I mean, do you think that's fair to say?
In some fashion, yes, because it still has that same course mentality of, like, Super Mario 3D Land. And in some regards, you can make the connection between, like, Super Mario Galaxy 1 and Super Mario Galaxy 2, where there's a lot of familiarity there, but there are still, like, new elements to keep the whole experience fresh.
Sure.
But it's this kind of same kind of mentality where they've taken the concept that people already know and mostly love, because I still know that a few people didn't like Super Mario 3D Land, which are crazy.
I think so.
And they made it, well, they made the levels bigger, they added four-player multiplayer, and they made the game overall have, like, a bigger scope to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that there are some setbacks along the way, but no, it has been mostly like a positive thing.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it. It looks like it would be. you mentioned the stages being bigger, and I would imagine that has to be the case because just the fact that you could have up to four people running around, the levels would have to be bigger and longer, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you will definitely feel that when you're playing alone, that they are maybe a bit too large for your liking. But overall, I feel that they still don't limit the potential with the creativity they put in these levels by having four-player people there. It's still totally playable when you're playing it on your own. But it's at some points it's noticeable where not much is going on, and then all of a sudden you're playing this alone in this big, giant landscape.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've played multiplayer as well as single-player, correct?
Yeah, I played both versions, yes.
Did you feel that you preferred playing with people? I mean, apart from just the fun of experiencing it together, I mean, it seems like it was better to play with friends.
Well, I like to screw with people, so in that fashion you could say yes. But to be honest, either way was fine to me. I mean, I prefer playing games multiplayer, but if it's not an option, I will totally still play it. I mean, I played also a lot of levels just on the gamepad, which it's totally acceptable and totally usable. So there's not much big of a difference there. And most of the control options is using, so when I was playing, I just switched between control options and I could change characters on the fly. So there's still a lot of experimentation you can be doing on your own, really.
Okay. Now, speaking of, well, a few things there I want to talk about, but control options, does this game use just the gamepad and the Pro Controller, or can you play with a Wii Remote?
So you can play with a Wii Remote sideways, which is not really a preferable option.
I wouldn't think so, moving in full 3D.
The D-pad is not really made for that. I mean, I played it with E3 demos and such. I played it with the Wii Remote sideways. But to be frank, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
So I've been switching between three options, and that are the Wii Remote and Nunchuck.
Oh.
That's one option. So you don't have really control for the camera in this fashion. But most of the camera angles are fixed in a way anyway. So in the long run, it doesn't really matter, especially when you're playing multiplayer.
Yeah.
Then there is the Pro Controller. And then there is the gamepad.
And so you've alternated between all three. What did you prefer?
So I mostly use the gamepad simply because I just like using that controller. It just feels nice in my hands, so I don't know. But at the same time, I could easily, when people just wanted to watch something quick, I just could easily switch between the television and touchscreen, which was a way nicer thing. And at the same time, I also got to play around with all the touchscreen stuff, which is a lot in this game. But at the same time, when my gamepad was empty, which happened plenty, I, of course, used the Pro Controller because it still has the same control setup except for the touchscreen stuff.
Yeah. Now, talk a little bit about the touchscreen stuff. I mean, what kind of things can you do with the touchscreen?
So, in levels all across the board, there are these purple blocks, which are like, they are like a different version of just like the brown blocks. But these purple ones you can actually break, so you can make it for the other players easier to traverse to some pathways. But they're still easily breakable if you have the cat suit or any particular big power-up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice option to have, especially when like the gamepad player doesn't feel really like playing. then there is like the invisible blocks, which they showed at E3, that there are like invisible blocks and coins all across the levels. So you could use the touchscreen, but sometimes they will just flicker on the TV anyway, so you can just walk across them and see them just as fine.
Oh, okay.
So it's a not really big difference. I think it's more useful, I guess, in multiplayer when everybody is focusing their attention on something else. And then they're saying, hey, there are coins here. Go here, over here.
Okay, I see,
Yeah, but in single player, I didn't saw much of a use for it.
Okay. Something you mentioned, too, is switching between characters. Can you switch between characters mid-level, or do you have to pick a character at the start of the level?
So when you start up the game from your save file, you get to choose your character to walk across the map. When you enter a level on this like big, lush world screen, and you go into a level, you can press B on your controller of choice and quickly change characters on the fly before you kick off the level.
And then once you're in the level, you're stuck with whoever you picked?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. Who did you prefer to play as?
So, because it's the year of Luigi, I played with the Luigi all the way through.
Seems fitting, seems fitting. And so they carry over, like, the abilities from Mario 2, where Luigi kind of has a very long jump and Princess Peach can float.
Mm-hmm. So I've played all four of them. I think that all of the four of them have a specific use. With Mario, mm-hmm. just have the all-round character, which for like the regular player is nice. For people who are like pretty average at playing video games. Mm-hmm. Then you have Peach, who can't run very fast but can float midair. Mm-hmm. So those make it very easier for like the starter player.
Sure.
Because she can save herself at nipped of time. There's Luigi, which I can see being fairly good used by both because of his high jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Though his ability to not stop very quick make it a bit more trickier for like...
Well, right, yeah, he kind of has that like that slide. Yeah, no traction, really.
Yeah, and there finally is Toad, and he is mostly used to just sprint all across the level.
He's really fast, right?
Because some levels have a limited amount of time. And I can't talk about those, sadly. but those are really... His abilities are really useful to get across through those levels.
Okay. But in the end, you stuck with Luigi for the most part.
Luigi stuck for the most part because I really like his jumping. There's a good weight to it, and it makes me helpful to get across this variety of different stages.
Right.
But there are instances where I use Toad, for example. But I think I mostly stuck to Luigi and Toad.
Yeah, that's kind of cool that there's like some strategy in it that you kind of pick your character based on the situation. Like you're saying here, like if you have a short time limit, then you know you got to use Toad because he's the quickest.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I like too that, like you said, Peach is kind of the beginner character because of her ability to float. It reminds me of Donkey Kong Country Returns, where you could play co-op and Diddy's got his jetpack, which is perfect for kind of newcomers who need extra float ability to get their jumps just right.
I wish I could play Diddy all the way through that adventure, by the way. Jeez.
Yeah, right? I know, once you play as Diddy, it's like you do not want to go back to Donkey Kong.
No.
So, the power-ups. You already mentioned the catsuit. Is the catsuit like just as much fun to play as it looks like it will be in the trailers and such?
Oh, I love the catsuit.
Best Mario power-up ever?
For me, yeah, totally.
Really?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that I loved more than the catsuit.
Well, because not only is it adorable, but it does seem to open up a lot of different kind of like gameplay options for Mario.
Just seeing, hearing every single character doing a meow is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to hear Charles Martinet meowing. I need more of that in my life.
Yeah, But for me, it's the most interesting power-up, but they have included some stuff that I find pretty interesting as well. Particularly, when I played the first level, you got to chase around like this big bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And when you caught it, out of popped there like the Mega Mushroom, came from, of course, the New Super Mario Bros. Games, which wasn't used as much as often as in New Super Mario Bros. 2, I believe. Which was a bit of a disappointment, but there you go. It's used in a couple of levels here, and it's incredible to use it in 3D because it just causes a rampage across where you're destroying all the Goombas who are like hobbling for their life, and you use this ground pound to destroy all the blocks in your near area, which makes you feel very powerful for just a few seconds.
when you get that in multiplayer, is it usually just one? So like everyone's trying to run to get it before everyone else, or do they give you one for everyone?
Yeah, they give you one for everyone.
Oh, okay, so yeah, that's got to be a ton of carnage then. You've got four giant characters running around.
It looks insane, but it is also lovely at the same time.
So the cat power up though is interesting, just because I feel like it really changes the gameplay in a lot of ways. With like Mario being able to dive on enemies and like climb up walls and everything like that. Did it seem like a big, I guess, game changer to say in your mind?
Here's the thing with like the previous power ups in the past, they just did one thing right, and then it was all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
With the cats, who there are two, which I already find a big thing. But it's like slashing enemies with your paws and doing this like cat jump kick from the air.
Yeah.
And then climbing and using those same paws to climb up walls and make going through like walls in those levels nicer and getting some nicer secrets along the way.
Yeah.
And they make really good use of that with also having like specific pillars that only like the cat suited characters can access, and then they climb up them and they get like a secret area to explore.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, it kind of reminds me of the Super Nintendo Mario World, where you need the cape to get to a lot of higher areas where secrets are in like almost every stage. And so the cat seems to like open up the door for that, where it's like, if you have the cat power, if you've survived or you've managed to keep it to this level where maybe it's not actually in, well, here, like, there's secrets you can get with it.
I think there hasn't been like this multi-use power-up as of late in any single Mario game.
No.
Of course, there was like the more developed Tanuki suit in the second half of Super Mario 3D World, but that was already based on like a previous design.
Yeah.
Well,
plus, with the Tanuki suit, they took away the ability to fly, so it's like that keeps you grounded, so you don't hide secrets the way you can. Yeah. Now with this.
But it's the cat suit has more options here, which is which I believe is a very nice thing.
Yeah, I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's for the most part what we can talk about this early. I mean, that's what all I have. Is there anything you want to specifically talk about?
There are a few things that I can still talk about here.
Sure.
So
go ahead.
With the other items here, there is of course the cannon box, which you saw in the second trailer.
Yes.
Which I got to play with in the second world boss. So you collect a power up and you basically shoot cannonballs at every single thing that you encounter. And if you hold like the Y button, you charge it up and launch a very more powerful shot.
Right.
It's a cool thing. It's only used in specific levels, and you can only use it in those levels.
I figured it wasn't like a real power up that you like can carry from level to level.
No.
Okay.
And the same goes for stuff like the handheld piranha plant, which is the most amazing thing ever. Like holding this pocket piranha plant and just seeing it munch on every single way in its path. But although that thing has its limits, because it will be scared at the moment it sees like the bigger piranha plants pop up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's funny.
But it's a powerful thing. So let me think. That's mostly like the more important ones that I came across in the first two worlds.
So another thing too, I'm curious about are the bosses. I feel like in New Super Mario Bros. U, I love the game, but the bosses felt for the most part kind of, I don't know, a little lackluster. Like they felt kind of by the lines, it wasn't something...
A Biden numbers Mario experience.
Yeah, big surprise, right?
Yeah.
So what are the bosses like in this game, at least the first two bosses?
So in the first boss, Bowser drives in a gigantic purple car.
Okay.
And then he turns around and starts to throw, European football bombs, European football bombs at you. Which you have to shoot, which you have to kick back at him to destroy his car.
Okay.
and that's the first boss.
All right.
It becomes more tricky because it shoots more lava and he makes it more difficult with a few more trap ways, but that's basically what it is.
For the most part,
yeah. And then the second one is a straight up like Super Mario Bros. 3 style fortress where you have all these driving tank vehicles which you have to avoid.
Okay.
So you have to step on them and then solve various smaller puzzles along the way. So the Super Mario 3D Land had the fortress ships, and I believe those were in Super Mario Bros. 3 as well. So they just completely did a 180 and now do the riding sections instead.
Okay.
So yeah.
So a little variety there. Sounds like they mixed up a little bit, but.
Yeah,
shouldn't be anything too surprising to people who play
it's,
Mario.
It's not groundbreaking, but it's fun.
Yeah, sure.
They have some twists that make it interesting enough.
Okay,
and that's something what I can say about the levels in general. They do things that are interesting, not specifically like in the first world because it's a straight up introduction to the game.
Right.
I mean, they are very quick to like introduce like elements, but. The thing that I find interesting is that you walk across this world map and it's so much more interesting to explore because you can just walk around it and there are like coins that you can pick up and there's like item boxes you can crash.
I was going to ask. Wow, yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And like the two most entertaining levels in the first two world, excluding the boss right here in this moment, are the one where you ride on the dinosaur and go over the water, which was shown at E3 and was here again, which I can now do perfectly after playing it for like 20 times. So thank you so much, Nintendo. and then the other one, which was World 1-5, which is called Switch Scramble Circus, I believe. Like in Super Mario Galaxy and Galaxy 2, you had these levels where you had to go over like this question block switches and clear passageways that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire level here that's based around that pretty much.
Oh, okay.
And you are on this big circus tent and then go from room to room.
Huh.
So it was a bit different. It was more like a crash course than it was like a regular Mario level, which was interesting, but it's, I don't know. It's cool, I guess, but it's something that I have to get used to in the long run, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then going from World 2 is you have 2-1 where in the trailer you saw these like this birds like smashing down their long heads to crush you and your friends.
Yes.
And it's pretty much what you expect. It's a slightly tougher level with like moving platforms and which move very fast back and forth, by the way. And those jerks that are all across because they will quickly put their head down. And the only way you can actively defeat them is by having the cat power up because you can destroy them from high in the air with your cat super kick. Which is nice. And, of course, are like these very small sections which you have to run across, which is like Toad or Luigi are perfect for.
Yeah.
And then we have the level we discussed. That's the one with the piranha plant.
Mm.
And then, of course, we have the level that everybody has seen, which is the 2-4 one, which is the one with the rolling hills. And the first level we pretty much saw at E3.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what, like, the world is made of. And
okay.
And then the last one is the double cherry one, which you can use to duplicate like Mario or anyone else that touches the double cherry.
Yeah.
And those are pretty much the levels they introduce to you in the first two worlds. Which is, for the most part, it's pretty standard Mario fare. I mean, there are a few exceptions in the first one with the Switch one and with the riding the dinosaur. But there are some curveballs later, which I can talk about, which should shape up things to make it more interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited for, is kind of the later stuff where it just gets weird.
And the thing is then with the... So they have now, instead of like the yellow star coins, they have the green stars.
Oh, okay, those are like the hidden stars in every level.
Yeah, and I find them pretty easily for the most part in the first two worlds. I mean, I only have one level, which I haven't completed all of them. But for the most part, I did it. And then next to that, you have the stamps, which you can use to enhance your Miiverse posts and give them a little stamp.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. That's actually kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, and they're like pretty much like an entire page filled of them. So it will be a long while before I have finished them all.
I like those specifically because they look hand drawn. Like they remind me of the old artwork you'd see in like an instruction manual.
If you remember like the pictures that you got and saved to your 3D SSD card from Super Mario 3D Land, it's pretty much up. It's straight up like the more black and white version of that artwork.
Yeah,
which is not necessarily a bad thing, really.
No,
that was cool artwork. One thing of note is when you get to World 2-1 is that some Miiverse features will already be available, and that's the ghost data.
Oh.
So pretty much, it's something you can turn on and off if you want to. And pretty much what happens is that three random Miis, and I've seen specific Miis of any journalist, so I can tell it's already legit data that's already out there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see them walking about in the same like level you are, and you can see what they are doing. So maybe it will be helpful to find like secrets that you didn't find on your own.
A good idea.
An interesting thing about it is they use their Mii characters, and they have these pixie outfits, which are crazy. And some of them even carry gifts, so if you catch up to them, you get like maybe an additional item or something.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, that's a sort of smart way to implement it.
Hmm. So there are the stems and there are that stuff, which pretty much makes good use of the Miiverse service, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily like result screens like New Super Mario Bros. U, but at least it does something that at least stands out a little.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that will do it for now. So, yeah, that's a nice little preview of what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the embargo gets a little, you know, is lifted every week. So maybe not next week, but maybe in 2 weeks, like right before the game comes out, we'll revisit this. And you can talk a little bit more, you know, without spoiling things, but just a little bit more about what people can expect. I think that would be good. Mm-hmm. If you, the listener, are interested in something like that, let us know, and yeah, we can set something up for maybe about 2 weeks from now and get that going.
Definitely. I would definitely feel something for something like that. Yeah, definitely.
Great. Awesome. All right, Don. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, and I will talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget, you can send listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and if you've got a moment, we'd love it if you could rate and review the show on iTunes. Thanks.